Welcome to the Capital News. I'm your host, Alex Kuraitis. Today is Thursday, July 9th, 2020. Thank you so much for joining me. Title of today's podcast, Deep State Winning. We're going to talk market performance. We're going to talk about the Supreme Court decisions in relation to President Trump and his financial and tax records. We have initial jobless claims figures, continuing claims, and the Federal Reserve's balance sheet. Deep State Winning. It dawned on me today. All of these conspiracy theories, deep state there, here, everywhere, out to get this president, out to get another president, out to get you, me, and everybody else. But then at the same time, when you take a step back, you have to ask yourself, well, who is part of this deep state? And who is cheerleading the deep state? Well, isn't Donald Trump, in a way, a cheerleader for the deep state? Hear me out on this. Is he not tweeting on a near daily basis the performance of the stock market? When it suits him, when it's going up, of course. Never when it goes down, only when it goes up. Unless he has to use it for some other political purpose. But more times than not, he's only going to tweet or discuss the stock market if it's going up. Well, right now, who is the stock market for all intents and purposes? It's Google. It's Facebook. It's Amazon. Apple, Microsoft. We know the names. Ever hear of Edward Snowden? And those documents that he released, what, 5 years ago already? Those companies sound familiar? All the data they collect on all of us? Government wants it? Yeah, sure, here it is. No problem. No questions asked. Here, take it. Do what you want with it. Huge government contracts awarded to these companies, especially Microsoft and Amazon. The Federal Reserve buying their corporate bonds. And these stocks keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger, bid up, bid up, bid up, bid up. To valuations that are in the stratosphere. We talk about those Fang Man stocks, Facebook, Apple, Netflix, Google, Microsoft, Amazon, NVIDIA, semiconductor manufacturer. A few weeks ago, we talked about their overall market valuation. It was the size of Germany and Italy combined. Those seven companies, their market caps combined, were the size of Germany and Italy. Two of the largest economies on the planet. Now their market cap valuation is even higher. It's now the size of Japan and Italy combined. Nothing to see here, folks. There's no bubble. This is completely rational. Everything is perfectly fine. Nothing to see here. So the president wants to have it both ways. There's a conspiracy theory. The deep state's out to get him. Yet at the same time, these stocks that are leading the stock market higher, he's cheerleading for. Get the disconnect? Something's not jiving. I've also been told by various news outlets with a conservative bias that all of these documents relating to the deep state and the president being listened into and being spied on and this, that, or the other, going on 4 years now, we have been told that documents are going to be coming out, investigations are going to be concluded, people are going to go to jail, etc., etc., etc. Nope, nope, and nope again. What are we waiting for here? We got 4 months to go. If it's as bad as you say it is, and if it's as obvious as you claim it is, then what are you waiting for? What else needs to be conducted? What's going on here? Can't have it both ways. If it's that devastating to this country, is the president withholding his Trump card for the election? Well, that doesn't seem to be very good, does it? If it's that devastating to the country, these people need to be locked up now. Have due process. have the justice system work, of course. But they need to be held to account if it's that serious, if this is true. Because if you're going to go after the deep state, I would have to assume some of those companies are going to get caught up in the mix. And what's that going to do to the stock market? That which leads up leads down. And when you have these valuations in the stratosphere, we know what history tells us. Now, history does not have to repeat, but it typically does. The Great Depression, the Dow losing 90%. 90%. The dot-com bust, the NASDAQ losing 80%. The Great Financial Crisis, the S&P 500 losing over 50%. We know the numbers. We talk about them here all the time. How devastating is this collapse going to be? Because in my opinion, my analysis, I still believe that it's going to. And the higher we go, the higher we are going to fall. That's why I always sign off, stay diversified and stay vigilant. I don't have a crystal ball. But if history is any guide, if mathematics is any guide, if logic and reasoning is any guide, if sound economics is any guide, you better be careful. Because these are extreme valuations. And nobody seems to care. Nobody seems to care why, either. Well, we're printing money like we're a banana republic because we are. Well, that's perfectly fine because I'm a day trader now and I'm making a little bit of money. You are today. That's what they thought in 2000. And then they lost their shirt. Are you ready to get out? Do you know when the top actually is, when we've actually peaked? I mean, these markets are insane. Today, the major averages were down. And then, of course, in the afternoon, well, that can't happen for too long now, can it? Especially not with the NASDAQ. Facebook, Amazon, Netflix, Google, you know the names. Who called who? That's what I want to know. Who called who this afternoon? Did Trump call Mnuchin, who then called the Wall Street banks to buy things up? Was it Chairman Jay Powell? Did he pick up the phone and call his traders at the New York Federal Reserve desk? Go buy stuff? Did somebody pick up the phone and call BlackRock? Go buy stocks? Get the NASDAQ in the green by the end of the day? And they did. They did. This is a joke. The plunge protection team, were they called? The biggest banks there on Wall Street? Can't have a down day. There can be no type of correction. Got to keep going up. Has to be cheerleaded. Isn't that the deep state? Wouldn't you think that's the swamp? Are they being drained? No. Not even close. Not even close. But go vote this November because you think it makes a difference. It doesn't. It doesn't. You got a president who tweets and talks about these things like this. And then you got Joe Biden. A guy who's been there for 30, 40 years has done nothing. Nothing to help. That's your choice. You think either one's going to make a difference. I'm not voting for this. I'm not signing on to this. This is ridiculous. This isn't American. This isn't free market capitalism. This is banana republic. These same companies, by the way, they pay very little, if anything, in federal taxes. Get awarded huge government contracts. And again, the Federal Reserve is buying their corporate debt. Tell me how that makes sense. And you have a president who cheerleads it. And you have Democrats who signed off on this. Where are they? Corporate bailouts and all this, that. Aren't they supposed to be out there? Where's Occupy Wall Street? Where are the Republicans and bailouts? Oh no, fiscally conservative, can't have this. Where are they? Where's the Tea Party? Deficits. Where are they at? Everybody's getting paid off, evidently. Got your stimulus check, your extra $600, whatever the case may be. All right, I'm good. $26, $27 trillion national debt, $4 trillion national deficit. I don't care. I don't care. The stocks are going up. This is why the deep state's winning, folks. The swamp is alive and well. Nobody's going after them at all. Nobody. You're not going to hear it on Fox. You're not going to hear it on MSNBC, CNN. They don't talk about this stuff. You hear it here. Get rid of the Fed. Get rid of the income tax. Then you'll start to see structural changes. Other than that, it's the same circus. It's the same circus, and you're going to continue to scratch your head and ponder why. Every 2, 4, 6 year election cycle, I can't figure it out. All we had to do, I thought, was tweak it a little bit, and I thought everything would be okay. And it's not. It's the same arguments. It's Groundhog's Day. Wake up. Snap out of it. Have you left these parties yet, like I have asked you to do months ago, because these people don't care about you? Have you left the Republican Party? Have you left the Democrat Party? Have you done it yet? Because they left you a long time ago. I don't know how much more evidence you need. All the evidence is on my side. With all due respect, I don't care how you feel, because that's all it comes down to. How you feel. Well, I feel that this party is a little bit better than that one, and so that's what I'm going to do. I don't care about that. I want the evidence. I want the facts. 96 to nothing. No votes for America. Signed into law with a smile on his face, that being the president. Now these jokers are talking about another $2 trillion. You get that? Another $2 trillion that we do not have to continue on with this insanity, to bail out now the states and local governments, which, of course, by extension means pension plans. How many Americans don't have a pension plan, but now you're going to have to subsidize people that do? How does that make sense? How do you think that's going to play out politically? Not too well, if I have to say so. These protests are just getting started. There's going to be a whole host of reasons why people are going to be taken to the streets. That'll be one of them. Then discussion, well, are we going to extend this extra $600 a week if you're unemployed? What are they going to do? Are they going to give some type of bonus to go back to work? I mean, this is a joke. It's a joke. There's no free lunch. You're all going to pay for this on the other side. So I hope you're smart with your choices right now, with your financial choices. Because if everybody's got it and then everybody starts spending it, yeah, you know what's coming. Inflation, stagflation, and don't be surprised if hyperinflation hits the streets in the United States in due course. It's happening elsewhere. Don't be surprised if it happens here. Don't be surprised. Futures trading right now, all in the red. Dow Jones Industrial Average is down 0.3%. The S&P 500 is down about 0.1%, as is the NASDAQ 100. Cash trade in Japan is currently down 0.2%, a sea of red across the pond in today's trade. And in Australia, also in the red, down 0.3%. On the commodity front, WTI is trading at $39.27 a barrel. Brent is at $42 per barrel. Natural gas pulling back, $1.76 per million British thermal units. And we have gold trading at $1,801 an ounce, and silver is at $18.62, that being the spot price of those precious metals. Uncle Sam's 10-year Treasury junk note is yielding 0.61%. Remember, folks, it was only a couple months ago where this was all the way up at 0.9%. Now we're back down 0.6. That's a loss of over 30%. That's a huge move. The bond market is sniffing out what we have been discussing here for months. And really what we were talking about yesterday, where the next step is insolvency. The bond market knows this is coming. The bond market knows the game that's being played. In the stock market, the broader markets, not just these high flyers in the NASDAQ that are lifting everything up, but the broader markets also see it. They also see it. That there is not a V-shaped recovery in sight. It's just not there. And as we've just concluded the second quarter of this year, we're going to start getting all of these earnings reports. Well, If they're not pretty and they start giving guidance, because all these companies, they didn't do guidance because we're in uncharted territory here, so we don't even know what to say. So just go ahead and do what you want, Wall Street. Pump and dump, pump and dump, pump and dump, which is what it's going to be. Are they going to give guidance as they release their earnings over the coming weeks? Time will tell. Time will tell, but buckle up. It'll be a perfect reason to justify any type of correction or perhaps another massive sell-off. So be aware that these earnings reports are going to be coming out. And again, the markets are also following the bond market. When these yields go lower on Uncle Sam's junk bonds and notes, market tends to follow. Initial claims for the last week, 1.3 million, slightly more than 1.3 million Americans filed for the first time for unemployment insurance. That's still huge, folks. 1.3 million. This is initial claims, the first time. When you add to this figure, this doesn't get publicized too much in the media. When you add to this mix the emergency policies that have been put in place with the Nobody Cares Act and the pandemic emergency unemployment insurance or whatever they're calling it, you got to tack on another million people. So we're north of 2 million. Then, when you take an aggregate, which we were discussing because of the jobs report, the con jobs report that came out last Friday, when you take into consideration all Americans, 32.9 million Americans are receiving some sort of unemployment insurance. 32.9 million. That's an increase from the prior week. And the prior week was an increase from its prior week. Last week it was 31.5 million. Now it's 32.9. You take that against the total working age population, you're talking an unemployment rate, a true unemployment rate, north of 20%. That is not a recovery. That's a depression. You get it? You understand why I call these jobs reports the con jobs report? Do you get it why Thunder Thumbs, he comes out and gives his little press conference or his statement to the press in the White House after that 4.8 million quote-unquote jobs created in the month of June, but he didn't take any questions, did he? Because if there was any type of astute journalist or reporter in that White House, and that's a big leap in and of itself, but just one who could actually string some thoughts together and could actually read the report, maybe they'd have a real question for the president, and it wouldn't jive with how good he was pretending it was, because it wasn't. And again, I take no pleasure in saying this, but I'm not here to lie to you. I'm not here to put sprinkles and cherries on top for you. I'm here to give you the facts. I'm here to give you the information. And we can move forward from there. You want to solve a problem, you have to identify that you have a problem to begin with. That's all I'm trying to do here. Not trying to pass the buck, put the blame on somebody else, not blaming the Chinese or the Mexicans. We caused most of our own problems. So it's on us to solve them. Not to blame somebody else. They have their own problems too that they caused. Let them solve theirs. Let us solve ours. And I guarantee you, as Americans, we will win. We will outcompete them. But so much as we continue to play the blame game, it does nothing but hurt us. You got to face these issues head on. That's how you solve them. Pretending everything's fine when it isn't doesn't help anybody in the long run. It just doesn't. Might make for good politics, but we're sick and tired of it. The swamp was supposed to be drained. My opening discussion, just how much more evidence do you need that it's not being drained? Not even close. They are winning. The swamp is alive and well. If they're not making money hand over fist, they're being given money hand over fist. From a printing press. Well, we're your deep state buddies. We're your political comrades. Give us that cash. And they're getting it. And nobody says a thing. Not the president, not a Republican, not a Democrat. Nobody. And despite those bad numbers, you yet have a decent trend when it comes to continued claims, because that is lower than the prior week, and that continues its way downward. And we're now resting at 18 million. The week before was at 18.7. This is continued claims. Again, last week was at 18.7 million. We are now at 18 million. So that is in the right direction. But then when you take it against the other number, well, that's not jiving quite right either. So what I'm paying more attention to now than anything is that 32.9 million figure as to how many Americans are actually receiving some type of unemployment insurance or assistance. And that's what it tells us, 32.9. So that's what we're rolling with. Because the other thing that continues to be a distortionary effect, of course, is the PPP and all of those loans. Because we don't know if those people who are back on payroll or never left payroll are there because there's actual demand at those places of business for the goods and services that they produce, or if it's just the employer wants to comply with the PPP loan so it becomes a grant. We don't know. We just don't know. And that's going to cause further distortionary effects in these markets. And again, garbage in, garbage out. When you're trying to make a good decision, you need good information. Well, when you have all of these policies and programs that are out there, and make no mistake, they are designed to make things look better, which we hit the nail on the head months ago with this stuff, the Nobody Cares Act and the PPP, because without it, unemployment figures would look even worse. And they're not pretty now. This is pretty basic stuff. But this is just more distortionary effects. And this is par for the course when it comes to government intervention and central bank intervention. So we shouldn't be surprised by any of this. But I'm just telling you what to be on the lookout for. And again, that goes into yesterday's podcast, Next Stop Insolvency. Because once these programs expire, and they will eventually, no matter how much the Democrats and the Republicans and the president want to kick the can down the road and come up with another $2 trillion, $3 trillion, $20 trillion, it makes no difference, evidently. You're going to get those insolvencies, and with those insolvencies, you're going to get more layoffs. This should come as no surprise. Especially if there is no major V-shaped recovery, and we here are not predicting a V-shaped recovery. Federal Reserve's balance sheet for the third or fourth consecutive week now has actually been declining. We are now below $7 trillion, if you can believe it. Federal Reserve's balance sheet is now sitting at $6.9 trillion, a week-over-week change of some $80, $90 billion to the downside. Maybe this is why Wall Street is starting to sell off a little bit here, try them a little bit of a red day here for a little bit. Are they seeing this? Of course they are. But don't worry, there is still a ton of liquidity out there floating around in the system and then on margin. Believe me, there's a lot floating around. We will see if this trend continues. Because if Congress does pass another $1 trillion or $2 trillion, well, guess what we're going to see in the Federal Reserve's balance sheet? I imagine it's going to go up, way up once again to finance it. Because we're broke. Uncle Sam's broke. Broke is a joke. These are junk bonds and junk notes and junk bills that we are issuing. They're garbage. They're junk. Here in the United States. True travesty. But that's some of the market news. And then briefly, I'm just going to read part of an article from Politico in regards to the Supreme Court's decision with President Trump's tax and financial papers. We discussed this when this case was heard before the Supreme Court last month. And I said, I'm going to reserve judgment on it because I want you, the audience, to take the time to listen to it. Well, the ruling today is not a surprise to me after listening to the oral arguments. So here we have it. Supreme Court splits on Trump tax cases, potentially shielding returns until after election. However, the justices divided on how much deference the court should allow or should show to the president, and they ordered further proceedings in lower courts. The Supreme Court has delivered a split decision on subpoenas for President Donald Trump's tax returns and personal financial records, unanimously rejecting his broadest claims of, quote, absolute immunity in a New York State criminal investigation, but ruling that lower courts did not do enough to scrutinize congressional subpoenas for similar records. The pair of highly anticipated decisions likely mean more delays in court proceedings on both subpoenas, increasing the odds that Trump makes it to the November 3rd election without releasing his tax and financial details to the prosecutors and congressional committees demanding them. More significantly, the rulings could permanently curb Congress's formidable subpoena power against the executive branch, which lawmakers have wielded as a cudgel for information for decades. All the justices said Congress has deployed an overbroad interpretation of its own power. Ruling on several House subpoenas issued to Trump's accountants and banks, a seven-justice majority said courts did not do enough to examine Democratic lawmakers' claims that they needed the records as part of inquiries aimed at strengthening laws combating a wide range of ills, including money laundering, official conflicts of interest, and foreign influence in U.S. elections. Chief Justice John Roberts, who authored the majority opinions Thursday in both of the politically sensitive subpoena disputes, said lower court judges need to take a, quote, a balanced approach, end quote, to the congressional subpoenas, closely examining Congress's need for the information, ensuring that the subpoenas are tailored to those purposes, and considering whether there might be alternate sources of information. Quote, without limits on its subpoena powers, Congress could exert an imperious control over the executive branch and aggrandize itself at the president's expense, just as the framers feared, end quote, Roberts wrote for a majority, citing the Federalist Papers. Quote, congressional subpoenas for information from the president implicate special concerns regarding the separation of powers. The courts below did not take adequate account of those concerns, end quote. Two of the court's Republican appointees were even more skeptical of the congressional effort. Justice Samuel Alito said the court's majority did not impose enough of a burden on lawmakers to demonstrate need for the records, while Justice Clarence Thomas said Congress lacks the power to subpoena private records from anyone outside the context of an impeachment battle. In the case involving a probe Manhattan District Attorney Cyrus Vance Jr. is conducting into Trump's businesses, all the justices rebuffed claims by Trump's attorneys that he is immune from criminal subpoenas while in office. In the majority opinion, Roberts rebuffed the president by joining the court's four Democratic appointees to also reject the Justice Department's narrower argument that prosecutors should be required to show, quote, a heightened need, end quote, to get the records. Roberts said the fact that the records sought are not official but pertain to the president's personal and business affairs meant that requiring a special demonstration of need by prosecutors would be unwise. Quote, in the absence of a need to protect the executive, the public interest in fair and effective law enforcement cuts in favor of comprehensive access to evidence. Requiring a state grand jury to meet a heightened standard of need would hobble the grand jury's ability to acquire all information that might possibly bear on its investigation, end quote, Roberts wrote. However, even as the high court turned down Trump's arguments, the justices seemed to ensure weeks or months of ongoing litigation because Trump will now be able to make other legal arguments that the records are legally privileged. If lower courts deliver any adverse rulings between now and November, Trump's lawyers could make another bid to have the Supreme Court freeze the process, effectively postponing action until after the election. So there you have it, folks. It's going to be more dither delay with this case. Now, of course, the president had made promises in the past that he would be releasing these documents anyway. But it's going on, what, 5 years now? Because you got to go back to when he was running in 2015 for president and campaigning. And then, of course, he was under that massively long audit. I don't know if he's even using that excuse anymore or not, or he's just saying, screw it, you're not getting them. But he did promise. Now he's fighting tooth and nail. And of course, this isn't even a case directly at Donald Trump per se. These prosecutors are attempting to get, or these investigations are attempting to subpoena documents that are held by third parties. Donald Trump's banks and Donald Trump's accounting agency. And of course, he caught wind of these subpoenas, didn't want them to go through, and now this has been held up in litigation for well over a year. And now it appears that it's going to go back to the lower courts, and who knows how much longer it's going to be until a final decision is rendered. It's political. Is there any there? There could be. There most definitely could be. We talked about this too a couple of months ago, especially with respect to Deutsche Bank. Because Deutsche Bank, I mean, every time you turn around, it's another scandal with them, money laundering out the wazoo, and a lot of shady ties with a lot of questionable characters from Russia. And then you look at how Deutsche Bank saved Donald Trump on numerous occasions by giving him emergency loans that he needed. And of course, he screwed them, I think, two or three times over. There's smoke. Is there fire? Don't know, but maybe there's something there in those records. It's always exciting. It's 2020. It's 2020. Halfway through. A few months away from the election. Anything could happen. It will get heated. I will take the time to read the written decisions here by the justices in regards to both of these cases. We'll have further discussions about this as we make our way through the political presidential season. We're going to do a lot more with the politics too, but you know, that might even be crazier than what's going on with everything else by the time we really get into it. But we'll save that for another day. There you have it. The deep state is winning. The swamp is not being drained. Thank you so much for joining me. Stay diversified, stay vigilant, and stay with the Capital News. I am Alex Caritas. Godspeed.